And welcome to the Razzcast. I'm your host, Jay. I got my boy T-Hole with me. How are you doing, T-Hole?
What's up? Glad to be back again.
As you can tell, I did not list out the episode number. We don't have Matt with us yet, or Zach. They'll be joining us soonish, I suppose. We were going to record this on Tuesday, covering the draft, or covering the complete draft, I guess. But we had thunderstorms up here in D.C., and my power got knocked out. So we are coming to you now a little bit belated, but it's worth it, because if I got T-Hole, that means the juice is worth the squeeze. And that was totally meant to be sexual. So let's, you know, before we get
to
the draft.
Is that from anything other than that totally underrated flick, The Girl Next Door or something?
You know what? I think that's where I got it from. Yeah, that's actually, you're right. It is an underrated movie. I
think it was one of those movies that like got bad reviews for some reason. Like, and then I was like, actually really enjoyed them.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. I got to tell you, Timothy Olyphant was pretty hilarious in that film.
Which one is he? Is he the older guy?
Yeah. Well, no, he's the younger sort. He's the her old boss or producer, I guess, you know, that's chasing.
Yeah. He's great in that movie. Yeah. And I do like that guy in a few other things. I think he was in, not Westworld, but that other
Deadwood. Yeah. That's one of my favorite series, I suppose, at least mine. And he was in Justified, what was that? I only watched that show for like two or three seasons. Maybe.
Yeah. I never got into that one.
Yeah. It was all right. I just kind of liked it because it seemed, they brought a whole bunch of actors from Deadwood to guest star in that show. So that was kind of fun for a while. But, yeah, anyhow, I guess we're here to talk about football. Before we get to the draft, T-Hole, I did want to cover some news items that have happened since our last pod. I think this may have happened around the same time we recorded last time, but we definitely didn't cover it. We covered Adrian Peterson instead. But I did want to get your take on your boy, Marshawn Lynch. I always thought him retiring was sort of permanent, but especially since he took a year off, so I would always take these rumors with a grain of salt, but he actually did sign with the Raiders, which is weird to me. But I just wanted to see what you thought about it, what you expect from him going into next season, and as a Seahawks fan, are you a little jealous or a little bit sad, or are you just happy for him that he's playing again?
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's back in the league or whatever. He was banged up his final year here. And it was a little disappointing, but I'm just glad he's back on the Raiders. The Raiders are one of my favorite teams here. I like how they built the squad here, and I like what they're doing. I was more of a Latavius Murray fan than most people seem to be, and they let him walk and had those scat backs there, so it seemed like they need the dude. He seemed like a little bigger dude to me, so I was assuming he'd probably be out of shape the way he kind of seems to live life and all that. So that I'm real interested to see what kind of football shape he's in. But hey man, if he's well rested and ready to go, that's another big pickup for Oakland. I like it.
Yeah, I gotta say, the league is always better when Marshawn Lynch is playing. I will admit I will miss him not playing for the Seahawks. I thought it's an easy team to root for on most days, especially since I lived up there. I'm sure other people have different opinions, but him going to the Raiders is a little strange. It's going to be weird, but I'm sure he'll do fine. It's just, I'm glad to have him in the league. I just loved his press conferences a lot. I miss them. So
yeah, right when he was getting finally to the peak of his fame was like kind of there in his last kind of year, commercials all the time. He became like this phenomenon nationwide. He's a pretty obviously funny character. So it's good to have him back in the league, and Oakland to me looks like they could be the biggest challenge to the Patriots to me right now in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, let's stick in the same division, because the other big news was Jamaal Charles going to the Broncos. Now that was pretty interesting. I would say you see this a lot sometimes, stars moving within the division, I think just because NFL is so dependent on scouting, and naturally, if there's a star on the other team, not only are you taking that star away, but you're also having a lot more video on him, a lot more experience with him. The coaching staff is game-planned around him at least twice a year, so I think that takes also into account. How do you feel about this Broncos team going into next season with Charles, and how do you feel about the Chiefs losing Charles and what they're going to do?
Yeah, I like the pickup. Didn't cost a lot. I think he still got something left in the tank. I think he still had some bursts. It's just the injuries at this point and, like, how fragile is this guy? So, I mean, if he's used as more of a third down type back, I mean, I absolutely love it. It's a big weapon for the young quarterbacks. That's the one problem I have with Denver last year, and they continue to have it. I blasted them continuously for not acquiring, like, to me, in my mind, what would be a legit quarterback. Like, I feel like they really should have pushed for Romo this year to do whatever they had to do to get that done. They want to stick with the same guys they had. They weren't overly impressive to me. I just feel like that team is a good quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender, and they're just without one. I'm just not seeing it. And the Chiefs, he's not going to be a big loss for them because they had a nice running game with the other guys and drafted a guy in the third round. So I think they'll be okay, and he's been banged up the last few years anyway. But the Chiefs are interesting because they went the quarterback, Mahomes, in the top 10. So you think Alex Smith, this might be maybe his last year with the Chiefs, and then maybe moves on to another team that needs a transition quarterback. So that should be interesting. But the Chiefs, yeah, they have a really solid team. They're another interesting team. They could be up there with I think it'll be between them and Raiders for the division, just because, again, I don't like the Broncos quarterback, and we'll see how the offensive line.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I'll just say it directly. I was going to have some commentary, but I really just want your straight answer. How do you think the AFC West could potentially be the best division in football next season? Or do you think it's still some other division? I guess you would put maybe AFC North, depending on how the Browns do. Maybe the AFC, or was it the NFC East? Depending, what's your feeling?
Yeah, that could be interesting, but yeah, the AFC West right now looks great. I mean, you're the Chargers.
Sort of.
I love the LA Chargers, your sort of team. Yeah. My old former second favorite team, living in San Diego for quite a while in my life, and I love their draft. I mean, they got a star receiver. I mean, receiver didn't seem like a big need for me, although their best receiver is always hurt, but I mean, Tyrell Williams stepped up. They still have Benjamin. Iman looked good. Now they had added this potentially superstar receiver to go with Rivers here down the stretch. Right. They added a couple guards in the second round.
Bosa for an entire season. Yeah.
Yep, Bosa, who surprised me and looked like a total superstar last year. So yeah, I mean, I really. I'm curious. The Chargers might have a insanely sick.
All right, we have some people joining us. Not to interrupt you, T-Hole. I think did you guys get a group rate or something? Did Matt and Zach come in at the same time? What? How is that even possible?
We tried to leave the bathroom 5 seconds apart, so no one noticed.
And then we have Zach. And then we lost T-Hole. All right, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to do this live, guys. We're going to do this O'Reilly live style. We're going to, because I just lost T-Hole, but as you know, this is, my nickname is No Cut J. That's actually not my cut, my nickname. So, T-Hole and I, we're just discussing we'll start off easy before we get to the draft, guys. T-Hole and I were discussing the best division in the NFL next season. We hypothesized that it could be the AFC West based on the draft, based on the signings, Jamal Charles staying within the division. Matt, why don't you tell me what you think about that?
That's not bad. I don't think Jamal Charles is going to be on the field very often, maybe 10 touches a game. They're going to try and keep him healthy towards the beginning of the season and see how it goes. I like the NFC East and the NFC South both. I think the Cowboys are still going to be great. I think the Giants made some improvements. And the Eagles and Redskins, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with either of those. So, but the NFC South.
Hello.
Hello. We got T-Hole back. All right, technology. Yeah, Matt was just telling you that your mother's a whore. So,
absolutely was.
Not the first time I've heard that from a Rasball affiliate.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And the NFC South, I think all four teams made improvements, and I think that division's up in the air. I think any team could really win it. The Saints, more of an outside chance than the other three, but I think the Panthers, Bucks, and Atlanta will all make some noise this year.
All right. Do we have Zach? I see Zach here. I just want to confirm because
Zach's I'm quiet, here.
He must be either dead or not here. So
no, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, you're alive. All right. Do you hear the excitement in my voice? I'm so excited. Okay, T-Hole. T-Hole, I cut you off, man. What you going to say?
I don't remember. I don't know where it ended up. I was just saying the AFC West, I thought if they played the NFC East, I think the NFC West would come out on top there. I do like Bowie's call on that division. I think the Saints also made some nice improvements. They could be interesting also. All those teams are interesting. Carolina obviously was a Super Bowl contender and then fell off this last year, added a couple very interesting pieces. So, yeah, I didn't. Tampa Bay, his team, made some I loved their draft also.
Zach, quicker question for you. Are Patriots going to go to the playoffs this upcoming season?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, you're
I don't
done
know what I was that. Expecting. Yeah, you're done. Anyhow, so let's get to the draft, guys. I want to do this not really in sort of like a clinical way. I want to do it more so in a shoot from the hip type of way. So let's just kind of go over the winners and losers, but I want you guys to kind of play in your sandbox. You know, I don't really care where you go with it. I do really quick, since hashtag content, it is the big hot take thing of the draft. Each of you, please, let's go with T-Hole, then Matt, then Zach. But T-Hole, give me your hot take on the Trubisky draft. I don't know what to call it. Adventure, I guess. It was quite an adventure. So, as you're rearranging CD cases, it sounds like.
Oh, sorry. I just realized my phone is not charged up here. But the Bears, I mean, you know, you got to look at it like it's cool. Like, if the quarterback, obviously, if that works out, then, yeah, great move. Everything's all good. You made the right move. You gave up a couple third-rounders to get a future star quarterback. If that's the way it works, like, great for everybody involved. But then they took, like, three Division II players and all this stuff.
Yeah, you know,
John Fox had no clue what was going on. Like, I mean, it just seemed kind of odd. But.
Yeah, it was, you know, before we get to Matt, I just want to quickly say the one point I do agree with you, T-Hole, is, you know, if you find a quarterback that you're impressed with, or this is your target, let's say this was the Bears' target all along, and you really believe that he's your franchise quarterback, the price that you pay for that is justified in the regard. Now, the question remains to be seen, is this the right guy? I don't know, where are you at on this, Bowie?
No, absolutely not. He was my number four quarterback. I have no faith in Trubisky at all. I think he's Jared Goff 2.0. Discussed this with Honcho on Twitter, and I think Zach too. I don't know what they're doing. They totally got duped by a GM who's had the job for a month. I mean, I love John Lynch, but he just totally annihilated them in a trade, and they could have got him in the three spot, and I don't think anyone was really trading up to the number two, because I don't think anyone thought the Bears or 49ers had any interest. So,
to be fair, yeah, though, I think in that atmosphere, you have to assume that someone is going for that two spot. I would... If I
sure,
was
so trade
GM,
away the
think,
next two seasons.
No, you're right. Like, I agree with you on it. But I think, again, going back to Teal's point, if you recognize as that guy, it kind of, yeah, you have to create a scenario which works for them. But, yeah, I agree. It wasn't really the quarterback. I don't know exactly.
So if that were the case, then why not take Deshaun Watson, which you've worked out many times, had many meetings with? I mean, this guy was shooting up draft boards the past two or three days leading up to, and I mean, you're probably going to get, I guess, in their minds, they weren't getting as much out of Deshaun Watson as they would with Trubisky, which makes no sense to me. I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to the right person here, because I was a Jay Cutler fan, so I'm not sure what the deal was in the first place, but, you know, these guys, they understand their team probably better than I do. Still, Zach, do we have any Trubisky love here? I mean, is this...
Well, I want to give the Bears some credit here. They need a quarterback sooner or later. So
true.
I think they're going to keep trying until they get that quarterback of the future. And if it's Trubisky, it's Trubisky. If they have to do this all over again next year, they have to do it all over again next year. But I mean, I don't think we're sitting here and complaining about the pick if they didn't give that much money to Brian Hoyer. you know?
Yeah.
You mean Mike Glennon?
So, I'm sorry, Mike Glennon. Yeah,
yeah, that's the weird part about the whole thing is that, you know, they're not like all in on him. It's kind of like a, you know, most of the money, guaranteed money, is in the first year or whatever. But it's like, you know, they thought high enough of him to where they wanted to pay him, and this guy's going to be the starter, blah, blah, blah. And then to immediately switch game plan is they must absolutely be in love with Trubisky. So, I mean, if it works out, it's going to look good. But, you know, this guy is kind of a question mark, and if it doesn't, it's obviously probably going to get the GM fired. John Fox is a sitting duck. He's done. You know, I mean, that's how I feel.
Yeah, apparently John Fox wasn't in on the discussions, which is weird. But really quick before we move on, I just want to...
I just don't think John Fox is really a big personnel guy, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's true. But I do want to give credit where credit is due. So, I mean... Big time round of applause for John Lynch. He had an excellent draft, and to be able to get all of that and the third overall pick for the second round pick, and they got Solomon Thomas, I think John Lynch had an excellent draft.
Right, yeah, you know, just one last thing about Trubisky. You know, I just want to give a shout out to Pete from Spadora Sports Network. It's a station I appear on with him most Saturdays to give analysis on football. It's up in New York, but he also the show goes live to the Armed Services Network. I want to thank all the servicemen and women out there for their service. And boy, that actually sounded like an advertisement. I did not mean to do that, but I mentioned it because the main point we talked about is the fact that. Trubisky, I think, was at a Bulls game after he got drafted, and the fans booed him. And I just thought that was... Why are people so stupid, guys? I'm just trying to figure out...
Classic Bears. They're the worst fan base. Them and the Packers. I mean, it's horrible here.
And this is a man who's trying to make a living. I just... you never want to see that.
T-Hole, would you boo this man?
Boo-hoo.
Trubisky at a Bulls game and blaming him for the draft. Yeah, T-Hole would just leave. He's so disgusted with Trubisky, he hung up on us. So, I don't know what's up with T-Hole's phone. I bet you it ran out of battery. He's so prepared for these things. Anyhow, let's go ahead and get to the draft discussion beyond Trubisky. That was the highlight. So let's have a little fun with this. Since we lost T-Hole, we're going to wait for him to come back. So let's have a little fun first. I want you to focus on your own team's draft. I think this will be fun. Matt, why don't you start off with the Bucks and tell us what they did right, what they did wrong, and what you would have done instead. I don't know. Just go ahead and take the microphone.
All right. OJ Howard was a great value. I was texting Zach all night. We were texting back and forth about the craziness that was going on, and I was about pick 15, 16, 17. I was like, oh my God, I hope OJ Howard falls. He's a perfect football fit. Fantasy wise, I wrote up. I don't know what to expect from him fantasy wise, but because they have Cameron Braid as well. But it is a great football move. He will contribute right away for run blocking, and he'll be a great extra option for Jameis Winston. It's a home run pick, A+. Second round was, they took a safety, not one that I wanted. I wanted OB out of Connecticut, and they took some guy I never heard of out of Texas A&M. So hopefully it works out. Got a running back in the fifth round, which is nice. I think Doug Martin's going to win the job, so I don't think it'll be such a groundbreaking pick. But overall, I think it was a pretty good draft.
What's your grade? Let's just go pedantic with this. Yeah, give me a grade.
B+, because it didn't take the safety that I wanted. Oh, and they got a wide receiver out of Penn State that I really like. He had an amazing Rose Bowl game. He had 9 catches and 2 touchdowns. That was my own third or fourth really exposure to him, but every time I watch him play, he's really good. So, yeah, B+.
Okay.
Chris Godwin, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
I think that's what his name was.
All right, Zach. I feel like I'm going to regret this because, number one, this has nothing to do with you, first of all. I could have went there, but I'm just going to say it's mainly the number one is because I don't want to hear about the Patriots too much. So do me this favor. Before you get to the Patriots, just kind of ease me into this. I want you to tell me why Matt is either right or wrong about his team.
I think Matt is 10,000% correct on the analysis. I initially didn't really cross my mind that they would – want Howard. I thought their biggest need was a running back, but as Matt pointed out to me earlier last week, Doug Martin seems to be having a great off-season workout. He seems to be having some great off-season workout plans. They seem fine with him, so I don't think they needed a running back. And, yeah, I think a two tight end set with Jameis. I think all in all, this draft is the biggest help to Jameis, and I think his stock for fantasy increased exponentially.
Fair enough. Now, please, I'm prepared mentally and physically. I've prepared myself.
Sure, I can make it quick.
I put my pants on for this, so yeah, okay. Let's go Patriots. What's going on with them? What was their draft like?
Yeah, sure. So they traded back in the second round, back to the third round. So
Patriots,
they didn't have a first. Yeah. They didn't have a first. They didn't have a second. They had a third. And they spent it on Derek Rivers from Youngstown State. And the rest of their picks, to be truthful, I didn't really know much about them or really know about them at all heading into the draft. They just got the best. I just think they filled up positional needs. They got two defensive ends and two offensive tackles, their biggest needs, and yeah, they have Brandon Cook, so that's it.
How blessed you are to just have total faith in your management to not even care who they draft on the back end. It's very interesting predicament.
The thing is, they traded their entire draft pretty much for good established football players. It's mind-boggling how it had to be like in the making the entire offseason, just putting this together, weighing the values of the draft picks you would get, as opposed to getting guys that who are already established and the percentage of them being able to help the team. I mean, it was out of this world. Like, the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year, and they're so much better going into this season. It's really scary. It's almost like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, there was one, I forget the podcast I was listening to, but they were talking about how the Patriots' second team is a lot better than some teams' first squad. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the depth chart for the Pats, you know, you have Jimmy Garoppolo, and then you have, you know, Malcolm Mitchell, Danny Amendola, how they would take that now over what the Jets have or, you know, what Cleveland has as of now. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, the draft was spent for the Patriots. They were filling up on positional needs, and I think they accomplished that goal.
All right, so let's kind of expand into the draft a bit more, talk about some other teams. Let's do it this way. I want you guys to kind of go over your winners right now. We'll go over losers next, but maybe some teams, maybe some things you didn't like. I know myself personally, I really liked the Panthers did. I liked what the Panthers did. They got a lot of, I wouldn't say star power, they're not stars yet, but they got a lot of premier options, I think, for Cam Newton and for probably, you know, a defense that needed a little help. Let's see. I think I like what the Bengals did. I'm not too crazy about Ross too much, but oh, we have T-Hole. T-Hole, you back?
I am so sorry, guys. The phone died, so I rushed in, and I'm back on the charger. I apologize for that.
No, I thought it was kind of your artistic expression of how you viewed Trubisky. So
right.
So actually, we were.
It's hard for me because usually I have a very strong opinion on most of these quarterbacks, and for him, I just didn't watch enough of their games. I didn't spend a ton of time on his tape. So for me, he's one of the few people I'm really not dropping a lot of input on because I just don't know enough. He's kind of a mystery to me.
Okay, yeah, and we're about to start going over the winners of the draft, but before we did that, T-Hole, I did give everyone a chance to talk about their own team, how they did in the draft, what they liked, what they didn't like, and so I guess I got to give you your couple minutes here to tell me about the Seahawks. How did you like their draft? What was your favorite part? What would you have done differently? Stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, the Seahawks, their grades kind of skipped around all over the place. I'd probably give them more like a C+, maybe like a B-. Like, you know, I liked McDowell, the kind of talent-wise, he's one of the best defensive tackles probably in college, but the effort was weak, which is why he kind of dropped. So, I mean, I'm fine with getting possibly an impact defensive tackle, which is always nice to have a penetrating guy there. You know,
penetrating guys, I think.
I love penetration, deep penetration from 300-pounders. And the Ethan Pochick pick, he played center, which is weird, but he's going to play guard or possibly right tackle, which I find odd. So you take a center and you want to move in positions. Why not just take one of the there were some other guards on the board. I'm going to prefer Shaquille Griffin's the guy I like, the corner from University of Central Florida. I think he looks like a possible star to me, and they needed a DB. But then I didn't like when they went with a safety in round three also, and then went back to I also didn't like the D-tackle they took at the end of the third, Nazir Jones from North Carolina. I just wanted – there's no other – they didn't take another offensive lineman until the sixth round. I mean, they took like five safeties and a receiver from Michigan. I mean, I'm just kind of confused about it, though. I mean, they seem to know what they're doing, though the last few years hasn't produced quite what they did in the past. So I didn't love it.
All right. I agree with T-Hole. I don't understand why they didn't address the offensive line more, but, I mean, whatever works.
And they could have had their pick of I know they moved back and added a few picks, but even after they moved back the first time, I mean, they could have picked the tackle Ramczyk from Wisconsin. Basically, yeah. A lot of people thought he's the best tackle in the draft. I mean, they passed up some other guys. I mean, it's just kind of curious to me.
All right, so T-Hole, I know you didn't hear my list. I think I was listing off teams of some winners. I thought I don't want to get too far into the weeds. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. One quick team that I didn't mention was the Packers. I thought they had an underrated draft. I'm not sure where they're graded by everyone else, but I sort of liked what I saw there. I liked the weapons that they got. I think Eagles was another team that did pretty well. I can't remember why, but that was an overwhelming feeling. That's what we do here. We just go with feelings, but... Matt, why don't you give me like a couple winners team wise in this draft, not counting the Buccaneers, of course, since you just covered them eloquently. Right. But what are your thoughts on
Jay?
That? Yeah,
yeah. Just really quick though, what do you think about the Chargers? We didn't ask you what you thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is, I think T-Hole and I were waxing poetic a little bit about the Chargers before you guys got on.
Okay,
but that's cool. I appreciate the question. Yeah, I think the Chargers did wonderful. I really like their draft, to be honest. To give you a short summation.
Yeah.
T-Hole knows how I can go on about the Chargers. But anyhow, Matt, why don't you give me a couple winners in this draft?
The Cleveland Browns, for one, are big winners. I like the David Njoku pick, trading back into the first round. He's going to be a nice weapon for them almost right away.
Really, really quick, Matt. Could you do me a favor? Could you compare really quick Kaiser to Trubisky and where you feel about those two compared to each other?
Yeah, I have Kaiser above Trubisky.
Wow.
I put him third quarterback off the board in Dynasty just because I like Mahomes and Deshaun Watson so much more. But there's a chance that Kaiser might be on the field this year.
I love the Kaiser pick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great pick. I mean, he wasn't a Brian Kelly guy, as many people have probably heard on other shows and whatnot. But
everyone just listens to us. No one listens to anything
exactly.
else. So we're their only outlet. So remember
okay,
that.
Okay, well, if that is the case, then he's a great raw talent. He's going to get a full training camp with probably mostly first team reps, and he's going to be a Hugh Jackson developmental job, and hopefully it works out for them because they really need a quarterback, and he's got the body type, he's got the raw skills, speed, arm. I mean, so if not this year, next year, definitely for Kaiser. But I didn't like the Jabril Peppers pick too much for the Browns, but if you miss on one of your three first round picks, big fucking deal.
Fair enough. Zach, what are some winners for you, man?
Sure. I really like what the Jaguars did in this draft. Wait, was that Matt that...
Yeah, I hate Fournette.
Well, yeah, because you hate Fournette, but... I personally think Fournette is a great power rusher just because, you know, I personally like power runners, but I know Matt doesn't. But not only did they get Fournette, they added Cam Robinson from Alabama, who just slipped, and I don't know why he slipped so far.
Zach had him going 4 overall in our mock draft.
Well, because I was expecting more offensive tackles to be taken, and I think only two were in the first round, which is, I think, was like the lowest in such a long time. I think the Jaguars did well. I think I think on damage control, the Jets and the 49ers did very well, considering that, you know, their rosters aren't in the best shape. I think, like I said earlier, I think John Lynch did a fantastic job with the Solomon Thomas pick. And now you're looking at defense with Navarro Bowman, DeForest Buckner, and Solomon Thomas. That's a really nice young core. And they added a couple weapons in the offseason in Pierre Garçon and... Shoot, the from New Orleans. I'm blanking on his name.
You got to mention them getting Reuben Foster, the Alabama linebacker, yeah. Late. Is he going to be a star or what, Zach? Tell me right now.
No. I think Reuben Foster's going to be great, and this is a great young defense. And when they get Kirk Cousins next year, I think the 49ers will be looking at one of the best teams in the NFC West.
Wow.
Is that, you have a problem with that?
Nah, he was just writing it down. He was writing in his notepad.
He's gonna get me on that next year.
It's cool. He actually got one of those ones with Target, and you know where you could, you know, there's like flowery designs on the front, and he wrote on the front,
sure,
Zach's notebook, and that's where T. Hall writes all of your thoughts. So
all of my predictions.
That's why we try to keep it short with you, because T. Hall and I, we talk privately, and we're just like, yeah, we need to have Zach shortened down so we can do bullet points. T. Hall, who are some winners for you in this draft? Like, some, what did you like?
Yeah, some quick winners for me. I did like what Denver did. They got their offensive tackle, DeMarcus Walker from Florida State, who somehow had like 16 sacks last year at a 3-4 end and is going in the second round. So I'm assuming a lot of those numbers were inflated there, obviously, because that's insanity. I do it, but he's a solid player. I like the slot receiver they took in the third round. He had insane.
You're breaking up a little, T-hole. I'm not sure if we can recover.
Another corner.
Here we go.
And they got another. They got another corner I like, and then they got Jake Butt, who at one point in the season was looked at as one of the top couple tight ends. Probably would have gone second, third round, if not for the injury he suffered at the end of the year. So that was a nice pickup. And then I liked. I did like Baltimore. Added some nasty pieces to the defense here. With their first,
and they really needed it. That defense was pretty lackluster the last few years.
Yeah, so they added some guys I like, a couple, three, four outside rushers. They got Humphrey, the cornerback from Alabama. So I like what they did. You know, although their offense is still pretty ugly, so we'll see what happens. But the D got better. I like the Redskins got lucky, because Jonathan Allen, a lot of people had as a top five overall pick, fell to them at 17, and then they got one of my bros, Ryan Anderson, in the second round, also from Alabama, who's more of a pass rusher, who to me, when I watch Alabama play, this guy jumped out to me every single time I watched them play. Reminds me of when I saw Clay Matthews playing in college at USC. Nobody talked about him. He wasn't the star, but every time I watched, he popped off on film, and he ended up rising up and going late first round, but obviously he became a star. But so he kind of reminds me of that, and I think that was very underrated. And then the Cardinals getting Hassan Reddick, and then my boy Buda Baker from Washington, who's kind of like Tyrann Mathieu, which is weird. So now they have they're going very versatile. Some of these teams are switching to just drafting these versatile players and just playing them all over, which I kind of like. So that's just a few tidbits for you.
I really agree.
Just want to make a quick point about Washington. Like, I really like what you said about them. They just basically replaced Chris Baker, who's now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, as an interior rusher. They just basically replaced him with someone who probably could be better. And they're just incrementally improving their defense season in and season out since a couple years ago when they were a complete dumpster fire. But they're definitely getting a little bit more scary on defense. And that could
be. Yeah, I thought they recovered. I thought they recovered nicely from a real weird offseason with the McClellan thing, who seemed like he was doing a nice job for them. It looked like it was just about to go back to disaster zone here, but I kind of like how they recovered there, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, so let's get to the losers of the draft. I'm not going to say much here, but I didn't really like the Jets draft. They need everything, but I'm not crazy about Jamal Adams. I mean, I like him. I think it's good to go defense. It just, you know, they need so much. I think it's not a question of who they chose. I think it's just they have so many glaring holes. And I hate the fact that really today they lost Marcus Gilchrist, or I guess they released him, which is a shame. I think he's an underrated player. But yeah, so let's see, what else did they do? They got Ardarius Stewart. I'm just looking at my notes here. And they got a tight end, which I never... I mean, why? They don't even use tight ends. So, I mean, they do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about it. I think Oakland's was okay, but nothing really excites me there. I thought the Giants was kind of average. I mean, is there any team out there that really dropped the ball besides maybe the Bears? I can't. Maybe the Rams? I don't know. What do you guys think? Matt, give me your losers.
I agree with you on the Giants. They could have done a lot more with their first round than taking Ingram from Ole Miss. I don't have any notes in front of me, but I believe that's who it was. When Joku was on the board, obviously the Bears were giant losers. And they always will be. Let's see here. I'm just going off the top of my head. I'm the opposite of Zach. I didn't like the Jaguars draft. Yeah, I didn't like the Jaguars draft at all. I think it'll be more of the same there in Jacksonville, but I'll leave it to you guys who do have notes in front of you.
Yeah, well, Zach, give me your losers of the draft.
Well, I'm looking here through my notes. I don't really think the Rams did anything special. I don't think the right move was for them to trade back. And that's what they did. I think they really needed to address the offense just because I think their defense was fine enough, and they didn't really add many playmakers on to help out Jared Goff. And then I think Todd Gurley needed some help this year with the offensive line, and I don't think they addressed that very well. I think the Bengals, again, aren't helping themselves out with drafting controversial players or signing controversial players.
I'm just going to interrupt you real quick.
Sure.
Because it is the first time we brought up Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
He's going to be the best fantasy asset out of this whole draft.
Probably. Yeah, right, probably.
We'll definitely get to some fantasy stuff after this, but...
Sorry for interrupting then, Zach.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
No, actually, you shouldn't be sorry. You should interrupt him whenever you can, but go ahead, Zach.
No, and then finally... I don't know if the Saints did anything special, except for Marshawn Lattimore for cornerback, but I think their later picks weren't that great
at
all.
The Saints haven't done anything special for a while now. So, but yes, I agree. But yeah, let's, T-Hole, give me some losers. Mm-hmm. Give me some losers.
Well, losers, you mentioned the Rams. I mean, they got the guy who's like Zach's age is running the team now, which is kind of odd here. I mean, they took the tight end who could be interesting, Cooper Kupp from My Hood, Eastern Washington, in the third, which is a little high, but what could be interesting. Yeah, they didn't really take – doesn't look like they got a lot of help out of this draft at all, so I will mention them. I don't like them. Detroit, to me, was kind of bland. I mean, they're another team that's always kind of like in the middle of the road, like where are we going with this Detroit team? I mean, they took a solid – middle linebacker, is he going to be a star? Hopefully, if you're taking a middle linebacker in the first round, decent corner in the second, but in the rest of the draft, I'm just not seeing anything exciting here at all. I don't think they're going to be much improved at all, really. So I would just give them as the loser. You guys mentioned all the other teams I was going to hit up.
All right. Matt spoiled it, but let's go ahead and go with it anyhow. Let's talk about some fantasy prospects in this draft. Now, it's a little bit different in fantasy football. A lot of these guys probably won't be impactful. As we've seen in recent drafts, usually the first rounders, you know, your running backs, your wide receivers are, of course, your prototypical. Sometimes the quarterbacks, but not so much in this day and age. So I wanted to kind of get two things from you guys. I wanted to get your, let's say... the player that will have the most fantasy impact for you this upcoming season from the draft. And then I want you to tell me the guy, the kind of hidden gem, maybe like a third round wide receiver or something like that. Maybe someone who's under the radar who could maybe establish themselves during the season to be someone to look for, I guess, as the season progresses, either on the waiver wire or someone that you should stash. So let's go and start with you, Matt. I know you already threw a name out there. I don't want to spoil it again. No double spoilage here. But if you want to pick a different name, that's fine. But if you want to stick with the same dude.
We all know about Joe Mixon. He was the most talented running back. But for PPR league specifically, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey. He's going to get his touches, and he's going to make plays, whether it's 15 or 20 touches a game. But he's going to get yards. He's going to get touchdowns. He's going to take pressure off of Cam having to run the ball. So I'm sorry, it took like two of the best fantasy assets in the draft. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey is definitely up there for me. Third round guy, homer pick, it's going to be Godwin. Tampa's going to be airing the ball out, and he should have plenty of room to work with DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate on the field, so I see him to make a few moves this year.
Okay, Zach, I know Matt took the same people you're going to take, right? No, why didn't you give me your picks? If they're the same, that's okay. Just kind of expand on where Matt was going.
Sure, I actually agree with Matt there. To build off of the McCaffrey pick, I think a lot of people have the idea that Cam's last read is himself, and if his receivers aren't open, he'll just take the ball himself. But over the course of the season, he's sustained multiple injuries to the head, and he just recently had surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff. So I think McCaffrey is going to get a bulk of the carries, and especially I think he becomes the dumping. I think Cam's last read now becomes dumping it off to McCaffrey, and so I think in PPR, as Matt said, I think he'll do very well. And then again with the Bucks, they're not really getting much production with their second receiver should be Vincent Jackson, and so I think he has a chance to step in and really stretch the field and kind of like the deep bomb, like a Torrey Smith type option.
All right, fair enough. T-Hole, you got the same people, or you're going to give me someone different?
I'm going to give you somebody different. I mean, I don't know if they mentioned Fournette at all, but I mean, they're going to pound him. I don't know what they're going to do with Ivory. His contract's one of the worst in the game. I think he's got guaranteed money through after this, even through this year and the next year, even.
He's got the Bobby Bonilla deal.
Yeah, some really bad. So I don't know, but they have a nice stable there now. But I'm assuming they're going to want Fournette to get the bulk of the carries. Corey Davis immediately becomes the number one receiver for Tennessee. He was the fifth overall pick. We'll see. We get a lot ahead of him at the combine because he was hurt. Mike Williams, superstar potential. John Ross will be a second, third option for kind of Cincy. So he's kind of tough fantasy wise for those speed guys where you don't know what their touches are going to be. But he could definitely be a breakout star. He's a freak. O.J. Howard for Tampa Bay. I don't know. I think Zach maybe just said him, but he should be plug and play from the jump. Freak athlete. He should be absolutely filthy. And Matt mentioned Njoku, who I like a lot too. So yeah, there's some interesting guys. And then even the guy Ingram, who the Giants took, you know, he could get a lot because their tight ends have been giving nothing the last couple of years. And in the past, they've done a pretty nice job. So if he's a real freak, he could be interesting too. But tight ends sometimes take a year or so. So I would be careful there.
Can I?
Deshaun Watson. Let me tell you what, he's going to win that job. He's got some weapons. They got great weapons. He's going to go win that job. And he can run a little bit. So running quarterbacks always put up them fantasy numbers. So shout out to Deshaun Watson. I think he's going to win that job. And he could be decent fantasy-wise this year.
Can I say something real quick?
Zach, you don't have to ask.
No.
Tell me.
Okay.
What's on your mind?
So that's our
podcast.
Two names that are true sleepers, I think, are Samaje Perine and Zay Jones. Perine from Oklahoma, I think he gets overshadowed by Joe Mixon. But Perine steps into Washington, and, you know, Washington, they don't seem to they don't seem to be sold on Rob Kelly or Chris Thompson or even Matt Jones. And so I think it's an going to be an open competition in the summer for the starting or even pass or on passing downs for the running back position.
Do you think he takes the job from Kelly?
I think Kelly doesn't have the – I think the two – I think it's either going to be Perrine or Keith Marshall from Georgia from last year who they drafted. I don't think Chris Thompson will do it. Matt Jones certainly isn't going
to – no.
Isn't going to take it. So I think it's either going to be Kelly or Perrine, maybe Marshall. But I think it's the two rookies – well, Keith Marshall's the second year. But I think it's the two young guys that they just say, hey, it's yours now. We didn't get any from – from this year. And then I think the second name is Zay Jones, who will be in Buffalo. And, you know, there's no one really else except for Sammy Watkins. And I think, you know, Tyrod Taylor or whoever's going to be their quarterback is going to have to throw it to someone. And so I think Zay Jones will step in. I'm blanking where he went to college on. Hold on.
He's Carolina.
While you're looking that up, you say that he's a plug and play, but I mean,
yeah,
like Robert Woods and whoever else, no-namers that they had at Marquise Goodwin or whoever that they had.
Yeah, Goodwin's now in San Francisco. And is Woods still on the team?
No, Woods is in
the
LA.
The Rams signed him for some reason.
The thing is, Tyrod doesn't throw – well, I guess different head coach now, but when Rex Ryan was there, Tyrod didn't throw the ball but 15 times a game, so –
well, Ryan was more of a ground-and-pound and classic Buddy Ryan defense, so I think it will change a little bit. But again, you're right, though. They may not – they're not even really sold on Tyrod, so I'm not sure if they'll let him throw it. But if he does, it's just going to be to Sammy Watkins, and then Zay Jones is their next option.
I mean,
don't ever speak negatively about Tyrod again.
I mean, that's not me. That's just the Bills organization. They seem to not like him at all. They benched him in the final few weeks for EJ Manuel.
That sounds like
a dodge. I wish he went to Denver.
If he went to Denver,
oh my God. That would
Tyrod?
Yeah. Oh, he would have fit in so perfectly there.
How come?
They said Kubiak was interested in him because he coached him when he was with Baltimore, and I was like, man, how did they not get that done? They would have won the Super Bowl.
Tyrod has a cannon, and he had Emmanuel Sanders. Demaryius Thomas. Like, someone just needs to let this guy loose. Like,
it's my wet dream.
He just has an issue lining up behind the wrong offensive lineman.
He's Mike Vick light. Like, he's a poor man's Mike Vick.
I always go off on Tyrod Taylor more than anybody in the history. I'm the very first person to stand behind him fully. But let me just tell you, I mean, look at what they have dealt with. They've had no receivers. Watkins misses 8 games every year at least, and then the other, when he is playing, he's banged up, was worthless. Robert Woods, nothing. I always loved him. I mean, out of USC, he's been a bum. And everyone else got hurt. They had nobody. They even let Hogan walk to the Patriots for like not a ton of money. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they've done there. So, I mean, they really need. I did like the Holmes pickup from the Raiders and now Zay Jones, so maybe they can get something out of them. But they really just need. Watkins has to stay healthy, and if he's not, they just don't have a chance.
And if he isn't, LeSean McCoy has the upside to be the best running back in fantasy just based on volume alone.
Yeah, that's, depending on all your hopes and dreams on Sammy Watkins, what could go wrong, guys?
Nothing.
Okay, so I think that pretty much goes off the draft. I have to say, not much NFL content is going to happen for a while, at least news-wise for the league. This is kind of, I would describe the draft as an island in the sea, in an ocean of the off-season, to get nautical and metaphorical. My two best trades, some would say, yeah, it's just what it is, you know. So I did want to go over, T.O. and I were mentioning off-air about this a little bit. I'm about to start watching The Leftovers. I don't know.
Oh,
Matt,
thank
you?
God.
Okay.
It's my favorite show on TV.
All right, so we're gonna talk about that soon enough. I know we have.
Do not binge watch it. You'll be depressed for days.
I mean, have you seen 6 Feet Under? I used to watch that. That would leave me.
All right,
writhing
maybe
in depression.
Maybe if you're a huge narcissist, then do it. Like, it's gonna be the greatest time of your life.
Well, I think you mean, like, this. Do you mean masochist?
masochist, narcissist, every cyst word there is, like this show has it.
I mean, you're probably right. I am a narcissist too, but
I am very, very much looking forward to talking about The Leftovers.
All right, great, great. Obviously, Zach still needs to turn 18 to watch these shows, I think. So
TV in general.
I can hear Zach looking up the show right now just to see if he can what the rating is. If it's MA, he's done. He can't do it. So I still haven't started The Pope yet. What are some other shows that I got to add to my list so I can?
I never got into The Pope. I was so pumped up about it. I watched like the first episode and never heard anything about it again. Did people like it or what?
Yeah, I had a buddy who liked it. I had never watched like the last three. Like I just always found myself.
It's weird. It looks so good.
It. Yeah, it's so boring.
Jude Law. I'm a huge fan of Jude Law too.
He's fine in it, but like the story Gattaca. And everything, it's just
Gattaca. Really... Shout out Gattaca, the most underrated movie ever made. Thank you,
Ethan Hawke. Dude, it was just it was great. It had that dude that was in Airwolf. So I don't know. Maybe that's
Fargo.
Out of everyone.
You should Fargo, the TV show on FX.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I need to check that out. I have a hard time watching TV shows that are based off of movies. I know this one is critically acclaimed. I haven't got into it yet. It's on my list.
It has nothing to do with the TV show except for the location.
Right.
And kind of like the weird murder scenario as kind of like the movie was. Master of None, Aziz Ansari's show. Mm-hmm. Coming back for season 2, May 12th on Netflix. That show's
fire.
What
about this American Gods is taking the world by storm? I guess it's about a book. It's on, what is it? That's on the Stars Network.
I do not subscribe to Stars, so.
You gotta get a buddy's account or something and stream that.
I feel like Stars has as many subscribers as the Texans have fans, so I'm not.
Right.
But yeah, I will be starting on The Leftovers, and then Game of Thrones stuff, promo stuff is starting to come out a little bit. We've got some pictures. We'll be sure to discuss that on the next pod. Also, Matt and I have sort of discussed it, but I'm putting on the foundations. If people have realized, I haven't been talking about politics much on this pod just because I'm planning sort of a group special politics-only pod where we will have a fun discussion. It'll have, hopefully, Matt here. He's already technically agreed to something like this, but I've kind of expanded on the idea. As we all know, Matt is...
spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! I am not a conservative anymore. This is ridiculous.
It's okay. That's fine, and we'll have time to talk about that. But I also have Mike Mayer coming on the show, who is a conservative and who did not vote for Trump. And at the time, you know, Matt, you were at the time a Republican who voted for Trump. And so
just to expand upon like saying all of a sudden I'm not a conservative anymore just because of Trump. No. This healthcare bill.
Well, like, that was Mike Mayer. That was Mayer that I was describing there. But you know, if
like what the Republicans are doing, even though Trump is in office, like you can be a conservative and not a Trump fan, but like it's not all him. Like they're all backing this stuff. Like it's really hard to.
You know, I'm really holding myself back on any comment because I do want to save it for that specific pod. Just because that pod, it'll be a fun discussion. We're not going to really debate anything. I think we're just going to kind of go over where everyone's at this stage, what their reflections are, what they would do over if they were given that chance, how they see everything going forward. I think it'll be a really fun, informative podcast. I am looking to add one more member to the table.
Jen.
No, I mean, she's always welcome to, but, you know, I'll see what her availability is. I prefer it to be not as progressive as I would like it. I'd prefer hearing from other people, not to make into a... I'm assuming, just based on our listenership, that we do carry an audience that skews a little to the left. So I just, you know, I'd like to concentrate on a little to the right a few times because I myself enjoy being pragmatic. But, you know, coming back to football news, too, of stuff that's coming on, I'm not going to give anything away yet. In fact, Matt and Zach don't know what's going on. Just me and T-Hole knows what's up, and we're going to keep it a secret. But there is a chance that we could be landing a special guest who is in the NFL in the near future. And so, this should be very interesting.
It's been so hard for me to keep this one on the low low. Yeah,
me too.
Is it a West Coaster or East Coaster?
I can't do that. I can't do hints. This is still in the works. I don't want anybody to feel let down if it doesn't happen. All I can tell you is that
Big Mouth.
Yeah, we're working our hardest to not only keep it under wraps but to get to nail this down. I think it'll be revolutionary. I think that's the best way to call it. We will be fighting North versus South like the Civil War, apparently. So, awesome. No, that's the Civil War. I meant to. Yeah, I'm so tired. Yeah, the Revolutionary War was actually when we, you know, freed ourselves from England. But we don't have to pay attention to history. Who cares about history?
You know? I love history. Yeah. My favorite subject. I used to just read through my. So I was in schooling for some reason. I just love reading.
I'm pretty sure I just did something that Trump would do, so I feel really awkward about it now.
Similar people, you guys.
Yeah, Trump didn't know what the Civil War was about this week. That was really quite stunning. That's not even political. It's just like, wow, he said that. Okay. But yeah, anyhow, that's what we have planned for the continuing off season. We may skip a few weeks here and there just because I'm a lazy asshole. I don't know about you guys, but I would describe T-Hole as that. Probably not Zach. Zach's a little too energetic for me. But Matt, you two are a lazy asshole. So,
oh, cool.
But hey, we're together. Misery loves company. But is there anything that I missed in regards to football? Anything on your minds that you would like to discuss to the people? Zach, we'll let you go first, since I'm assuming if we have you go last, people would just turn off the pod now. So we got to give them like the frosting at the end with Matt and T-Hole.
Doug Martin just got in a car accident.
Yeah, he just avoided injury, though. I just saw that pop
up. That is true. It actually, funny thing, just really quick.
I saw that thing light up. Like, I imagined him hyperventilating until I had to tell him that he was okay.
No, Zach already told me about it.
Okay.
The car crash actually happened on the street where I used to live 2 years ago. Like, it's in and around where I live now, and it's just kind of interesting looking at the police reports just saying, oh, hey, I live there.
That is totally because of the Illuminati.
Yeah. When did your Amish community move?
What?
You think I'm Amish?
Aren't you?
That was so random.
No.
Oh.
I mean, I'm Jewish, but not Amish.
Yeah, see, it's easy to confuse Amish people with
the wrong Jewish.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
The Hasidic Jews and the Amish look really alike to me.
If he was Amish, he wouldn't be podcasting.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. I mean,
he sneaks out. He has to do it in secret. He's one of those guys who does it in secret, and then he does it when he's like going to fetch the milk down the road or whatever. Yeah, the butter. Yeah, before he's in between churning butter and spinning yarn or something, he sneaks off and records these, and I commend him for it.
Yeah, I always found it interesting. You know, just a quick story. I used to be an auditor back in the days when I was going to college, and a little bit after that, I was an auditor for hotels. I basically did their accounting, and so I was working. I usually worked for Hilton, but I was working for Marriott at this time. And as you know, Marriott has a heavy Jewish patronship, just because the owner is Jewish, and they definitely cater to the Jewish community. And I didn't know much about it. You know, I was fresh off the boat, and metaphorically speaking, the boat of if the boat was, you know, religion. But so I always found it interesting because. You know, the people would, you know, obviously come in and get their key cards redone because the magnetic strips are garbage. Everyone knows that with hotels. And so these the Jewish customers would come in and, you know, the bellhop would hand me their card to magnetize it. And I would hand it to them and they reacted like it was, you know, like I had, you know, farted on it or something. I don't know. They gave me this dirty look. And I, you know, someone informed me that on Sundays, you know, on the Sabbath, they don't do anything. And so, you know,
Saturdays.
The bellhops, or Saturdays, yeah, I'm sorry, thank you,
no,
my Jewish friend, he is, Zach is our Jewish expert today, so anyhow, the bellhop would escort them to the room and open the door and everything, but I was, you know, it always bugged me, because if you're not supposed to do anything, like, why are you going out? Like, what are you doing that's causing, first of all, the magnetic strip to be erased, and then, it seemed kind of, counterintuitive, but hey, you know, I just gotta say, I've actually, I can speak a little bit about this. I had One of my exes is Jewish, and they, not that she was super into the religion, but it seemed like really a hard religion. Like, there's a lot of labor there, I think, you know, with the,
yeah.
If you're a believer, there's a lot of tasks to be done, and I never, man, it's not like Catholicism, you know, where you just go to church for an hour and you're just absolved of everything. So,
yeah.
Zach, are you heavy into the religion? Is this
not not even remotely involved?
So you don't have the sideburns down to your shoulders.
No.
Are you wearing a yarmulke or no?
No, I mean, I observe yes, Passover and Yom Kippur and Hanukkah, but other than that, I mean, I can't remember the last time I've ever been to synagogue except for a holiday. So. Yeah, no, I spend my time...
You like that matzah soup, dog? You like that matzah
soup? Yeah, definitely. Definitely delicious. I spend my time, you know, tweeting at Matt and writing about fantasy football, so...
Jesus was Jewish, so you're in good
company. Yeah, people forget that.
Yeah. I think about it all the time. He was a darker Jewish person. Not really the light-skinned type, but...
We just bat...
Yeah, see, everyone, I lost connection to everyone, apparently. T-Hole, you there? I mean, T-Hole shows on my screen, but I can't see him. But anyhow, I think this was because, I think this was God telling us something. We just lost Matt, too, so let's go ahead and end the show. I guess we won't do Twitter stuff today, I'll just throw titters.
Sure.
Okay. We're losing everyone, Zach. Everyone's falling. Alright, so let's go and end the show. I'd like to thank T-Hole. I'd like to thank Matt for the show. We'll get their Twitters into our post since I don't have them offhand, and I really don't care to look. Zach, what's your Twitter? Let's go ahead and do yours, since you survived the wrath. Well, it makes sense. You're Jewish, so...
Yeah, there you go. Sure. You can find me on Twitter at razball_Zach. See how easy that is now?
Did you have to pay money to change that?
No, should I?
No, I don't. I mean, unless you want to pay me money, but... All right. So thank you for making this lonely ending possible, Zach. I appreciate you on the show. And thanks to all the audience for joining us for another week. I know this was our usual production type value podcast, and we hope to bring you more soon. So any questions, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on the site. Otherwise, enjoy. Oh, really quick before I forget, Matt Hayes is coming out with a Dynasty post. The first Dynasty post for Razzball Football in a long time. That's going to come out, I think, this week, so be sure to pay attention to that. Otherwise, everyone have a great time, and I don't really have another goodbye, so that's it.